Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. We're glad to be back with you. My co-host for the program, Dr. Les Olaloff, Chancellor of North Baptist Bible College, is back in the studio with me this morning. And, of course, I have the opportunity to be here as well, hosting the show with you. Doc, it's good to have you back.
Oh, it's a blessing to be here. Always a blessing to be with the folks.
You're getting ready for a big summer out on the road here.
Yes, we just came from Detroit, and we're going now down to North Carolina to do a leadership camp, and then come back from there and do 2 weeks in Upper Michigan camp. We were connected with Gitche-Gumbi Bible Camp.
Oh, now this is their big year for a
75th anniversary, and I've been connected there for 50 years. And so they're trying to bring some old-timers in.
That's great.
Boy, who was instrumental in my brother and me being invited to church, will be doing the mission speaking, Jim Hill.
Oh.
Will be doing the mission speaking.
Now, I met Jim at your home, I think.
Yes, and then he spoke to our Well, he's actually a house mover, but he does work in Russia. He goes up into Siberia and does children's work, but he makes his living moving houses. He lives in Seattle, Washington.
He was an unusual guy. I remember talking to him, just really having a powerful impact.
So he'll be the missionary speaker, and then we'll come back and then do our worldview camp here.
Why don't you take a minute and talk about that worldview camp?
Well, I've been burdened for some time. Actually, for many years, I have been speaking on the fact that Christians are taking on more of the worldview than a Bible worldview. And so a part of our specialty camp this year, we are doing a worldview segment of our specialty camp. There'll be our sports camps, music camps, and then one segment of that will be worldview. We would strongly encourage any parents out there want their children to get a doctrinal footing. We'll leave with a good-sized manual of basics for life.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be my son-in-law, Dr. Bennett, and I will be doing that along with Steve Pettit. And it will be formulating the doctrinal foundations for life, the theology that upon which we need to build our lives. Mm-hmm. And then how does it play out? You know, with the Scheibel case, people talked about quality of life. We will address the sanctity of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We will take issues that are so prominent today. How do you come from a Bible perspective to answer these and not get caught up in humanistic philosophy?
And that's really kind of a good way to lead into our topic today. How do we develop in the life and in the heart of the generations that come the kind of faith that our forefathers have? You know, you and I have been around the country together, and we've seen churches and institutions that at one time stood firm for the faith and that we would have looked at and said, you know, these churches are going to be here till Jesus comes. And then we go back years later, and those churches have made radical departures to the point that they've not just drifted away from the faith, they've totally departed in some ways from key beliefs and key practices that we would hold as essential to the faith. What do you think causes something like this to happen?
I was speaking to a guy, and he said, you know, institutions are one generation away from change. I said, no, they are one choice away from change. Not one generation, one choice.
The power of a choice.
Yeah, the power of a choice. And every day we have choices to make. And a good legacy does not guarantee a good future. That's very, very important for us to understand. You look at many institutions, whether it's a training base or whether it is a church or whether it is a youth movement or whatever it may be, you look back historically at the sound doctrine, the sound fundamental roots that were there of strong evangelical truth. But yet those institutions now are not even recognized as even remotely evangelical in many situations.
I know you've done some writing on the history of certain academic institutions, Yale, I think, and
Yale and Harvard, and these institutions that were started for training preachers.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, you still read their mission statements. It's unbelievable. But now you cannot even talk publicly about God in these places. There's an interesting verse in Psalm 78. To me, the best parallel, let me put it that way, the best parallel of a people group that fits our generation, I find in Psalm 78 and verse 9. And this illustrates the fact that a good heritage does not guarantee a good future.
Right.
The children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows turned back in the day of battle. We see the people that are involved there.
Who were the Ephraimites?
Well, we'll talk about their background. Okay. Then we'll talk about the protest that was in their heart, then the problems they faced that caused that, and then the plea that ended that actually goes into Psalms 80. And the three different times in Psalm 78 it says, and they turn back.
And that's reflective of what you see happening in modern day generations.
Yeah, for example, let's take Ephraim. Let's go back. Let's look at the people. Who are these people, the Ephraimites? Consider their background, their history. When Joseph was in Egypt, in prison, we know all the history of Joseph there. And then when he was released from prison, God gave him a wife. God gave him children. The first child born was Manasseh.
And that means what? God forgets?
Forgetting. And then Ephraim, which means fruitful. So Ephraim's background, he had a background of comfort. He knew no difficulty. He knew no problems.
Yeah, he hadn't been through all the things that his father Joseph had been through.
No, because his father Joseph had been given insight by God about the upcoming famine. So he knew nothing but comfort. And I thought, boy, if there's ever a setup for a fall, is to have no difficulty early in life. We tell our students, don't ever resent the fact that you have to pray in dollars. Don't ever resent the fact that you have hardships and trials because you appreciate every single thing that God gives you.
Right.
But Ephraim, there was no difficulty there. He had a background of comfort. We look at our generation today. What do these kids need? I mean, what do the kids of our generation really need? They have cars to use. They have recreation.
Clothing.
They have clothing. They have all the latest. Every video game, they have everything that is going on, and it is handed to them, basically.
Right, right.
You know, in our generation, we had to work to survive. We were teens at home. Dad says, as soon as you're able to work, you're able to pay room and board. So in high school, every time we had jobs, part of that check went to Dad for room and board.
And that taught responsibility.
Oh, absolutely, and appreciation.
Right.
We never resented any of that. You had a garden because you had to have a garden. You had beef because you had to have beef.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd have a cow, and now you have to create little 4x4 garden plots to teach the kids responsibility.
And you don't even eat the stuff you grow.
No, you don't, because the crows get it all before you. But this generation, no fault of their own.
But they've actually had their faith handed to them on a platter.
Their faith and their things handed to them on a platter. No fault of their own, but nonetheless, that is the truth. And
that's so, very much like what you're talking about here with these Ephraimites.
Yeah, there was ease. And then we see he had a background of compromise. If you looked in Joshua chapter 16 and verse 10, when they went into Canaan, what did God tell the people of God? Drive out the Canaanites out of the land. Because they will be an entrapment to you.
And they were to do this completely and thoroughly.
They were right. But you look in Joshua 16, verse 10, it says, but the Ephraimites kept the Canaanites among them to serve them.
That goes back to your whole comfort issue.
Yeah. In other words, why get rid of these Canaanites? Let's keep the best of these Canaanites to be our servants. Because why should we do the work if they can work for us? The only problem was it was compromise. And we have said it before, what we tolerate sets our direction as much as what we teach.
Right. That's at the heart of what we're talking about.
Yes, because God says, get it out, and the Ephraimites kept it in. That's a good question for any one of us. What are we tolerating in our hearts that God says to get rid of? Because it is that compromise that is going to lead us away from truth. We will always find a theology that makes us comfortable with our lifestyle.
Wow.
Theology always equals our lifestyle. So if I change my lifestyle, I will find a theology to make me comfortable in that, and I will begin tolerating things, and soon my direction goes based on what I'm tolerating in my own heart.
And that's really what's happened to a lot of these institutions we're talking about.
The teaching didn't change at first. It was the toleration. They were still teaching basic truth, but they were tolerating things that were leading their hearts away from God. You find that very same thing in Amos chapter 5, when God was bringing the judgment on the northern kingdom.
Right.
They were in ease. They were in comfort. The furthest thing from their mind was judgment, and they didn't get it. And God says, you come together, I hate it. You sing and I hate it. You come together in your sacrifices and I hate it. You're coming in because I have been replaced in your heart. You're tolerating what I said to get out of your life. And so they had a background of compromise. And then thirdly, they had a background of cowardice. And I will only mention for their own study, Judges chapter 8, Judges chapter 12, because when Jephthah was going into battle, you remember Jephthah, one of the judges?
Right, and this is the guy that made that rash vow to God.
Yes, and I think that's a whole other lesson in itself, what motivated that. Nonetheless, here as an illegitimate child, there were certain things in his heart, I think, that caused some of the decisions that he made. Jephthah went to them and said, go with me to battle. They didn't have any peace about that at all. A coward thinks with his feet. When Jephthah won the battle, God handed them the victory. Then the Ephraimites got on to Jephthah and said, why didn't you come and get us to go into battle? You know, you always talk big after.
Big talkers.
The enemy is down, and cowardice. And then they had a background of carnality. Let me just simply say Hosea, the whole book of Hosea. You read through Hosea. Ephraim is half-baked. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Ephraim is an unstrung bow. Ephraim is attached to idols. Let him alone. And the carnality that was there. So that was the people, the Ephraimites, their background.
Now contrast what they were to what we are today, to what you're seeing today.
Well, I think we see the same things that are there. We have all of the things. In fact, the very next part of that verse says, the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows. Now, we see the background they came out of, but what about their battle gear? They were armed. Okay, so they were ready for defensive preparation. Incoming rounds, they were prepared to take incoming hits. Ephesians chapter 6 says that to put on the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. But then they were armed and carrying bows. Not only defensively prepared, they were offensively prepared.
And, Doc, we're going to have to wrap it up this morning, but in our next broadcast, we're going to ask the question, why is it that they turned back? I mean, a nation with all of this heritage and really looking at our own generation, a generation with all of the conveniences and all of the comforts and all of the privileges, what causes that kind of a people, armed, offensively, and defensively, to turn back? And that'll be an interesting broadcast, I'm sure. But we want to take time now to just thank our listeners for joining us for our broadcast today. We hope that this new series that we are beginning on leaving a good legacy will be one that will be challenging and encouraging and will allow us to teach our children and those that we are influencing to not turn back in the day of battle. Please give us opportunity to continue to pray for you if you want to talk with us or send a letter letting us know what is going on in your life. We would be glad to pray for you. You can direct all of your correspondence or contact us at the website that will be given here in a moment or at the address for the Word for Life radio broadcast. Until the next broadcast that we have together, God bless you.